You know, a year ago today, Gil,
yes,
you said Bart has problems. I'd say, you know, they're all right. Now they have had an avalanche of problems.
Yeah.
So carry on, sir.
Yeah, there is the drunk taser story, which, of course, we've been talking about. By the way, very quickly, GM, those model year cars are the Chevy Cobalts from 2005 through 2007 and the Pontiac, there's a word I haven't said in a while, the Pontiac G5S from 2007. So, yeah, these are cars from a few years back before their engineering got better. There is that, but still, that's a weird story. All right, let's get back to talking about Bart. So there's the tasing story. There's all, of course, all the other problems Bart has had. The seemingly festival of training problems they've had, one of which, of course, resulted in the death of Oscar Grant, the other of which resulted in the death most recently of another BART officer, with one officer shooting another officer. And then there's this story. A journalist, David Morse, who was arrested during protest against the BART police in San Francisco. He is going to be able to go ahead with a lawsuit claiming that transit officers actually targeted him because of his coverage of BART, which was critical. Michael Siegel is an attorney with Siegel and Yee representing David Morse. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and real quickly, for those of you who don't recognize the name David Morse, or you're thinking of the actor when you hear that, David writes most of his internet articles for IndieBay under the name of Dave Id. So that's the deal. David Morse is his real name. And he was covering BART. He covered the Oscar Grant story. He covered the trial of Officer Messerly, the fatal shooting of Charles Hill, the homeless man with the knife in the city at the Civic Center station, and all of that. Very, very critical of BART. What's this case that a federal magistrate is now allowed to go ahead?
Well, thank you. The case comes from that summer when Charles Hill was killed. So we're talking about the summer of 2011. And it, like now, it was a very tough time for BART in that there were protests about Oscar Grant, protests about Charles Hill. And then at one of the Charles Hill protests, they shut off the cell phone service in the stations, if you remember that.
We all remember that.
And then that inspired this anonymous group to start further protests. And so in the context of all that, the summer and fall of 2011, my client, Mr. Morse, is writing numerous articles chronicling all these protests and also throwing in his editorial slant where he's criticizing BART police. And as it turns out, at the last protest in this series, BART police, it seems like they decided they had enough, because what they did is they, during a very small protest that I want to say it's about 25 protesters and about 20 media who are following the protesters around in the Powell Street station.
Yep.
The BART police basically encircled everybody. And out of this whole group of 45, they selected David Morse first for arrest. And they later on arrested about 20 other protesters. And then they systematically released every other journalist present just by, you know, showing of a press pass. And so my client came to me after this happened and said, well, you know, I think I was arrested without probable cause. What can we do about it? And so we commenced this legal process. And at the beginning, we didn't know that he was targeted. But through discovery, we had BART turn over emails, video files, audio files. We learned that BART police had created a flyer, essentially a be on the lookout type flyer. And on this flyer, they put two people, the head of the protest movement and my client, David Morse. And they put this mugshot of the protest leader, and then they put a picture of Morse underneath it. And so they essentially, BART commanders, you know, inspire the rank-and-file officers to look at my client as the enemy, as the person that's responsible for all this chaos. And so predictably enough, at the protest itself, they refer to Mr. Morse as the subject of their investigation, and they choose him first for arrest. And even though he says, hey, I've got two cameras, I got my press pass, what's going on? They insist on arresting him. They hold him in handcuffs for 2 hours in the police station. And they even try to subject him to criminal prosecution, although those charges were dismissed.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. They're going around with having handed out a picture of a reporter whose coverage they didn't like to officers. And was there a text on this? Is there anything, if you see this guy, arrest him or what?
No, it was more subtle. It just said, you know, because it referred to him as Dave Id, because that's what he writes for.
Right, right.
Real identity unknown. So it was very mysterious. In terms of the other person on the flyer, they list his prisoner identification number. So the flyer kind of raises these implications. But then at the briefing for officers that day, we did, depositions of some of the officers.
Yeah.
And they say, well, we specifically discussed, if you see Dave Id breaking the law, make sure to arrest him. I mean, they specifically called him out in the lineup that morning as a person to follow and to look at.
And it wasn't like he had any kind of record of doing anything illegal or anything. It was that he was this reporter who was very critical of, or columnist, whatever you want to say, editorialist, who was very, very critical of Bart.
Exactly. Two deputy chiefs testified in this case, and they both admit, well, one, they were reading all of his articles. Like, one officer had a Google alert set up for Morris. Another one bookmarked his page. They knew he had never been arrested before, but they still felt at liberty to tell everybody, hey, be on the special lookout for this guy.
That's just good grief. I mean, good Lord. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
really. I mean, that's like so unsubtle. It's just like, wow. All I can do is kind of sit here and go, wow. So Bart is apparently all bent out of shape that a federal magistrate has ruled, this case can go ahead. You can Morris can go ahead with this because there's a case here. That's all, of course, a judge can say before a trial or anything. But yeah, there's a case here.
They underestimated Mr. Morris. I mean, I don't think they thought. I think they saw that he was an indie bay, independent, online journalist. They didn't think that he would fight back, is my only assumption. And maybe they didn't realize how much of this stuff would appear in documentation. I mean, we really had to piece together these emails that focus on him, these computer-assisted dispatching, the police radio files. We had to piece it together. But once we laid it all out, the judge, was pretty impressed. And if you read her order, she writes about 20 pages just outlining all the evidence against Bart, which is pretty unusual. Usually the judge is so busy they don't bother to write it up like that.
Yeah. They'll just go, okay, you can take this to trial and rot a ruck with this. I mean, that's kind of something right there where the judge is like spelling out everything, and it's like, oh man, that's almost, I mean, if it weren't so scary that they were picking out a critical reporter, that would almost be kind of, pie in the face. But it just seems that Bart management does that. I mean, time after time, it's just so sad. Anyhow, we'll follow the case. Michael Siegel is an attorney with Siegel and Yee representing David Morris. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me.
You got it. Yeah. Take care. All right. A flyer with a picture of a reporter was writing critical articles. Be on the lookout for this guy because we don't like him.